The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, according to new figures released by the CSO today, one in four people living in rural areas without access to a car have had to travel more than 8 kilometres to access a GP. And indeed, up to 44 kilometres is how far in parts of rural Ireland people have had to travel in order to access other aspects of the health service. We're asking, are you affected by this? Are you somebody who lives in a rural area and has long distances to travel and difficulties getting a GP or a pharmacist or to a hospital or to those types of things? And for more on this now, we are joined by Dr. Maura Finn, GP with Centric Health. Maura, remind me where you are based and tell me a little bit about, I suppose, the hinterland of your practice. Hello, do we have Maura there? Hello, Maura. Okay. All right. We are having some issues with Maura, but we do want to talk about this because we know that many people in rural Ireland live in one-off housing, so they're not close to any kind of a town. And we also know that the number of GPs due to retire is growing, so that we have an aging population of GPs. They're not based necessarily close to where some people in rural Ireland living, and it creates a huge difficulty. Do we have Dr. Maura Finn there now?
Sorry, hi, I'm here now.
Hi, Maura, not to worry. Thank you very much for joining us. You're very welcome to the show. I'm just asking you, remind us where you are based, Maura, and tell me a little bit about the hinterland of your practice. Do you have many people who would live reasonably far away from where you're based?
Yes, so I'm based in Ennis. I suppose we'd call ourselves a mixed urban-rural practice, but there's a lot of people who travel a significant distance to come into our practice. Now, a lot of that is by choice, obviously, but obviously there is the other issues, and these manpower issues within general practice have been flagged for a long time, that smaller practices in the more rural areas, and particularly around West Clare, West Galway, areas along the West Coast in particular, there are a lot of the GPs are retiring or of retiring age, and they are not being replaced because people aren't willing to actually kind of take on these smaller lists. So as a result, people travel the long distance from Liston Varna, for instance, to come into Ennis to come and see us. Now, you know, that can be choice, but care should never be limited by either money or access or travel. And if there is somebody who's kind of limited by kind of transport, you know, there's very poor public transport services in the west of Ireland compared to the capital and other places. So those things have to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a problem that is unique to Ireland. More, I'm reminded of the fact that in Australia, they have the Outback, or in Scotland, they have the Outer Hebrides, where there would be, you know, a really sparse population and large distances to be covered. So delivering healthcare is a challenge always to those kinds of locations. Other countries do it differently, though. They have contracts that are very, very well paid, where a GP might be sent in for 6 months or 12 months or 2 years. We're a little bit different here, aren't we?
We are. I think we need to think outside the box and look at different ways of contracting GPs. But currently, if we don't change the system that we have here in Ireland now, it's not going to attract younger GPs. First of all, there's the fewer number of them starting, but we have taken a massive intake of young GPs in the last year. And in 4 or 5 years, they'll be coming out. But they don't want to work in these kind of remote areas where they feel they don't have the backup, the services, the family services, maybe the housing, maybe planning permission. They don't have those services, which are often built into the contract in somewhere like, I worked in Australia before, and, you know, it was a marvelous thing to do. You know, you could go and you were young and you were doing something different, but you would actually kind of have an enormous amount of experience over a limited amount of time and be really well rewarded for it as well. But to start, you know, what most GPs want, and GPs who start and do their training within rural practices often really love them and would love to stay, but they're not able to because they expect a certain quality of life, and they shouldn't be denied that quality of life because they're going to start working in a very rural area.
Yeah, but we do need to get a bit creative, don't we? Because we still have that old model that we expect that we'll advertise a job and somebody will sign up to it for life. But if you are going to be signing up to doing every night on call in the Aran Islands or something for the rest of your days, that's not realistic nowadays, is it? That at one point, perhaps somebody might have signed up for that, but that's not how people live now. So do we not need to get more creative? Because those communities still need doctors, just as they did exactly as you described in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely agree. We do need to get more creative. But, you know, I think we expected more of our, or less of our population. You know, people have a very high expectation of what they, the service they demand at the moment. On call might have been a little bit looser than it would have been, you know, years ago than it is now. I don't know how they're going to get around this, but I do think having facilitating group practices and more access to services, access to things like local injury units, these are wonderful. You know, when you're talking about the CSO, you know, people are talking about hospital services and emergency departments, but emergency departments may be few and far between, but there's a lot of really good other services like local injuries unit, medical assessment unit, but we as GPs need to have access to those to help us provide the service we want to provide as well. But I'm not sure what the answer is. I know more GPs coming out has to be an improvement. Money is always good. But I mean, it's not about money. It's about quality of life. And it's about being able to produce a quality of life that supports a young family, and it supports your partner, and it supports somebody else being able to have it. You know, your partner maybe being able to access the job in the area where you want to work and live as well. So, like I say, I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, you're saying, but even that mindset, and by the way, I'm not picking holes in what you're saying, but that mindset where you say, you know, as where you can support your family, and that idea is still there in our heads that somebody's going to move into the community and grow old there. And that hasn't been shown to be the case in other really isolated areas in the world, in other particularly Western countries like Australia. So, you know, the 2-year contract or the 1-year contract where someone gets maybe a large amount of money and gets the experience and gets and not just the medical experience, but the life experience of living somewhere isolated, like the islands or something for a year or two. You know, would there be what do you think the profession
could be very attractive?
But what do you think the profession would say about things like that? Because I have no doubt should that happen, well, then there might be different contracts maybe might be floated for teachers or for guards or for other people who go into those areas too. And we're very heavily unionized, and people like One Size Fits All here on all of these types of things.
Yeah, good point. But I think it could be very practical. It could be very attractive, as I say. But the one thing that we hold dear in general practice is this community access that we have, and the fact the continuity of service and knowing our patients. So dropping somebody in for a year, which may be practical, and it is any service is better than no service, but they don't get to know the patients, this chronic disease management that we put in place. And it has been proven again and again that continuity of care and a GP who knows you well improves your life expectancy enormously. And it's hard to actually put that into
I fully agree with you, but I'm just wondering, is that perfection being the enemy of good? Do you know what I mean?
Possibly. I mean, years ago, we used to, when I qualified first, we used to do locums all the time. We would be dropped into somewhere and would do maybe a week, and you were on call every night. And it was a wonderful learning experience. But we didn't know the patients, and you know, so it's not perfect by any means. But it needs to be looked at. But you need people who are willing to do that and have to be adequately qualified. You can't have GPs coming in who are not fully qualified in all the specialties to actually take over a service like that, because that is the problem that you might have. Some, you know, we bring in GPs from different areas who have a qualification, but it may not the equivalent to what we expect. And in that case, what you're doing is you're giving people a subservice, substandard service, and actually doing them more harm than good.
I think, you know, it would be fair to say that there were in the past GPs who lived in very small communities and probably were on call every night of the week, even though they may not have been called every night of the week. And nowadays, we would see that as intolerable, both in terms of a workload, but also we now know things like burnout and those types of things do exist. Do GPs have a view on that about themselves and about their own profession and about their own abilities to deliver that old school version of general practice?
I think fewer and fewer GPs would actually want to deliver that kind of type of general practice anymore. Some will, but they tend to be the older people. I shouldn't say that. I'm one of the older people myself now, but I'm in a group practice, and that gives me the backup to be able to take some time off. It gives me the backup of having other people to discuss problems with and complex cases, and it gives me access to services. Some people do like that, and it is that kind of old James Herriot type style of kind of practice. It's very charming, but it isn't necessarily something that's sustainable. And I see with the younger GPs, because I train them myself, and they don't want to even take on a, and they're perfectly within their rights to kind of pick and choose, but they don't even want to take on a contract within a group practice often. They want to do what they call portfolio work, where they might work in a practice for 2 days a week, maybe work in a university lecturing for another day of the week. You know, they want more interesting and varied roles. So we need to look at the general practice. What the old standard model is not working.
And maybe lastly, am I right in thinking that the older GMS contracts, the old medical card contracts, they had built into them things like mileage, and they had built into them things like distance from the practice if somebody lived, because there was an expectation around house calls, I imagine. But some of that was done away with. Has that created a problem as well for rural GPs?
It may have, but you see, I can see why that's done away with, because like I said, I would have people travelling from Kilrush in to see me, and obviously there shouldn't be a mileage, incentive or whatever otherwise. So that's allowing patients to have choice, and choice is always good. But yeah, you know, they certainly need to be compensated for if they're doing a lot of travel or have smaller clinics, or sometimes they'd have like a sub clinic in a smaller place. Sure. And seeing some of their very elderly patients there. And then house calls, of course, as well, are hugely time consuming.
Are they still very prevalent? I know lots of GPs in Dublin don't do them because of the difficulties with traffic congestion. It would take half the day to go and visit one person, and it doesn't make sense.
We generally don't do house calls if there's any way possible. If somebody has a car outside the door, they can usually get into the practice. There are people who are housebound, and they would be visited. And if somebody is terminal care, you know, I would always do house calls then in that situation. But they're not a standard of care that they would have been years ago, because it's not as good a standard of care, because you're traveling to a house. You don't have the sure services that you would have in the clinic. You can't do a blood test easily. You know, even doing a dressing may not be in the most aseptic kind of condition. So there's lots of reasons why it's not a good idea. And people don't expect them anymore. And if somebody is significantly unwell, they have to travel to go into a hospital. So it's so that is an understood.
Look, Maura, thank you for coming on about the changing face of general practice, and indeed the challenges perhaps in providing it or indeed accessing it in rural Ireland. That is Dr. Maura Finn, their GP with Centric Health. One texter says, we live right out in the middle of nowhere in North Leitrim, and by choosing to stay in this location, we acknowledge that services would be quite a distance to get to. Our closest GP is about 16 kilometres away, which isn't bad, but folks that live deeper into the sticks travel 30-odd K. We all know what to expect with regard to services because we've lived here all our lives, but obtaining the serenity that comes from living where I do from living in a town or a village. I don't expect services in rural Ireland. It's a decision to live here regardless. Remote working transformed our world, and I totally see that, but the difficulty is when you're older, and you know, post-retirement, and maybe have more chronic illnesses, and all of this becomes, I suppose, more urgent for you. Let us know what you think about it, particularly if you're affected. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.